been seeing God move in a powerful way. We just had our Freedom House conference this last week, and man, I'm telling you, God moved in such a powerful way over that conference, and the culmination of what God did, where we spent focused time with God, and we just gave the room to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, you do what you want to do. And we saw miracles, y'all. Someone that could not walk started walking. You ought to clap right there. Come on, somebody. People that were possessed by devils got delivered and set free. You ought to clap right there. A former witch came to the Lord. A Satanist came to the Lord. People were breaking meth pipes at the altar. People were breaking crystals at the... Man, you ought to clap like there's revival and God is moving in Jesus' name. To God be the glory. And I want to talk a little bit about that today because I know a lot of questions. I spent actually this past Wednesday, I did about a 50-minute teaching on is this still for today, this type of moving of the Spirit. So I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel and you can read, you know, kind of listen to that. But I want to spend a little time today that's going to kind of segue right into what I want to teach today, a message about understanding our faith and what we're supposed to do to educate and to impact our church. Because there's one thing since Freedom House first started, okay, is that we would be a biblical church. What type of church are we? Biblical church. So if it's in the Bible, we doing it. We live in it. We want to see it. Amen. Like, if it's in the Word of God, that's what I want to experience. And we want that in our hearts. And so it's in our name, freedom. We believe that God can set people free from whatever is attacking them, whatever is in front of them, whatever is over them, spiritual, physical, but also freedom, house, because we believe in discipleship. We believe in understanding. The Bible says, I got a lot of scripture today, just so you know, Hosea 4:6, it says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. In this realm, in the spiritual realm, what you don't know will hurt you. What you don't know can hurt you. But that's why we're in God's house, because we want to know. That's right. Amen. And so I want to teach. We're going to do things a little different today, okay? And so I'm going to have you sit down. Go ahead and have a seat, okay? And we're going to read some scripture right now. I'm going to teach a little bit, and then we'll get to our opening text. Keep playing. Man of God piano player here. And I want to spend some time teaching on what God is doing. That way we can be empowered as a church community to know what it is God wants to do in this age, in this time, okay? And spend that. So if you're here saying, Pastor, when are you going to preach? I already am, okay? I'm trying to teach the Word, and I want to pastor our church into where we're going, because you don't have to have fear. You just have to have authority and knowledge of who God has made you to be. And so when you walked in, they handed you a piece of paper. They're the points of my message, the verses we'll be reading today. You could follow along. And if you're at the Fuller campus, I know online everything's cool. At Fullerton, one of our projectors went out. The bulb didn't get here in time. And so today we got like poked in an eye, but it's okay. It'll be ready for tonight. We're doing all that. But they're going to put the verses in the back screen here, as well as the other screen that's working here. And we want to teach this because we are a biblical church. Tell your neighbor, say, we're a biblical church. Say, we're a biblical church. We're not an emotional church, okay? We're not one of those like shabba-dabba-doo churches. Hey, one of those shabba. No, we're a biblical church. That if it's in God's Word, we want to experience that in our lives. And so you got to know that for us. Now, we believe, like I said, in the power of God's freedom, but we also believe in discipleship. In fact, tonight, we have a Bible college here, and our Bible college, we're going to be graduating students tonight, third-year students, first-year, second-year. So we are heavy about the Word. We love the Word of God. But I want you to know what the Word says, so that when you see what is happening, you know, wow, that all collides together, and this is supposed to be happening. Because see, what can take place is when certain things like that happen, when people that can't walk or start walking, ears start opening, people start getting healed, and people who are possessed by demons or oppressed by demonic things start getting delivered, we think like, that's kind of weird. No, it's not weird. It's biblical. And it's not like, wow, that can't be normal. That's supposed to be normal. That's like what should be happening. Come on, God's kingdom should be being established, and we should be seeing freedom in Jesus' name. Now, before you're like, well, is it going to happen every Sunday? I don't know. All I know is that we're going to see God every week. Say amen. So I want to show you this verse because Jesus said this. And I want you to get this in your heart, because if you call Freedom House your home, I want you to know what God called us to establish for His church. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, watch what it says here. Jesus said this, Mark 16, this is Jesus speaking. Who's speaking? And here's what Jesus says. He says, and these signs shall follow those who what? So is it going to follow the doubters? No, going to follow who? The believers who believe in God. I want you to notice that he says these signs are going to follow. So we're not trying to follow the signs, right? So we're not looking for miracles. We're searching for God, and then these signs follow as we search for God. So you got to know that, because see, some people think they're like, they're Ghostbusters searching for devils. No, we're not Ghostbusters. Okay? Ghosts are not real anyway. Funny, because I have somebody say, thank you, Holy Ghost, because I'm King James Version. I'm an old school Christian. And my son David says, we don't believe in ghosts. I said, that's right. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Come on. Anyway, a little side thought. But, you know, it's we're not looking for it. What we're looking for is Jesus. What we're establishing is the kingdom. And when we search for God, these signs follow those who believe. In other words, it's a confirmation of your faith. And what God is doing right now in our church is he is lifting the belief of the people. He's lifting the faith. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, about faith and belief, because all of this is not for a show. This is for us to know, wow, God, you're real. Like, you really are moving today. And you're showing us that you want to reveal yourself, confirm it with signs and wonders. But the Bible says these are going to be the signs, listen to me now, church, that you're going to know God is there. Okay? This is Jesus speaking. He's going to look for these signs and you'll know that they're believing in a God that establishes his kingdom. Watch what it says. It says, in my name, they will what? Cast out demons, okay? Cast out demons, cast out demons. In whose name? In Jesus' name. Not in Josiah's name, not in Freedom House name. In whose name? Jesus' name. Because some people say, well, you know, you can't be doing that. I'm not doing it. Jesus is doing it. Come on, somebody. Hey, come on, somebody. And so it says, in Jesus' name, you're going to cast out devils. That there's this stuff is real. That this there are devils, there are demonic forces that are over people and even in some people. And God has called us to cast those things out. And if you're in church world, some people say, oh, don't talk about the devil. Because like you think you have this agreement with the devil where like if you don't bug him, he doesn't bug you. That's not how it works, y'all. Okay? The devil, the enemy, the kingdom of darkness is trying to, the mission statement of Satan is threefold. It is to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. He write the scriptural reference, John 10:10. So Satan wants to come. So he's trying to attack your life whether you realize it or not. You could try to stick your head in the dirt like an ostrich. It don't matter. He's still going to come after your kids. He's going to come after your marriage. He's going to come after your home. I mean, just turn on social media. You know he's coming after your kids. Two amens. I said, you know he's coming after your kids. Just turn on social media. Turn on the when we were growing up, we call it the hellavision. Just kidding. The television, right? Just turn it on, you know? Been in church a long time, 25 years, right? And so, you know, they're like, all this stuff. Now, I'm not saying TV's bad. Okay, there's good stuff and there's bad stuff, but watch what you watch because it's a portal. And so, you know, but the devil's full on, man. He's trying to indoctrinate our kids, trying to confuse our kids, trying to just throw all this stuff. And if you don't, and if you just stick your head in the dirt, that ain't gonna work. And so demonic things are trying to attack. But here's the good news. Stay with me, good news. God has given us the authority to cast those things out in Jesus' name. Come on, clap, because we know our authority. Amen. So when it comes, we don't got to be afraid. We cast it out in Jesus' name. And now more than ever, there is a generation that is very spiritually awakened, but unfortunately, they're turning to the things that are not of God. Ouija boards, crystals, tarot card reading, witchcraft, just all of this new age, and all that stuff's demonic, y'all. And you need to hear me say that. It's demonic, okay? Because anyway, the only authorized way to access the spiritual realm is through Jesus and the Bible. If you access the spiritual realm through unauthorized ways, you open yourself to download a virus. See, some of y'all don't remember, but back when we used to get music off the internet, there was authorized ways. Then there was Napster. Okay, y'all don't know Napster. And you can download music from the internet in an unauthorized way, but you would open your computer to a virus. The same is true in the spiritual realm. You can access the spiritual realm in an authorized way, but if you access unauthorized, tarot cards, Ouija boards, New Age, all this stuff, then you are now opening yourself to be welcoming demonic viruses into your home, your mind, and that stuff needs to be renounced and cast out. Come on, somebody, say amen. And so the Bible says that we're to cast these things out, and always burdens me. There's a good word. I got to choose my words wisely here. It burdens me that the world that are not Christians, they line up for the spiritual stuff. But then the Christians who are supposed to be spiritual are like, don't talk about spiritual stuff. See how much sense? That don't make no sense, right? So we are to cast it out. Come on, say, come out in Jesus' name. Come on. So that's what we saw last week, is we saw this, because these signs are going to follow. We didn't looking for it, but as it came out, we cast out. Then the Bible says they will speak in new tongues. What type of tongues? This is talking about the gift of speaking in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we're going to speak in tongues, that there is a spiritual language that God wants to give us, okay? Now, notice he said new tongues to the disciples. Like he wasn't saying you're going to learn three languages. He says you're going to speak in a spiritual language. You're going to get a language you never had by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're going to get the shandarobo kiria basa. Okay, that's not out of order. You're not supposed to do that. I was praying. That's the spiritual language. I didn't understand you. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to God. Come on, somebody. All right. Okay. God wants to give spiritual speaking in tongues. And you need to know that this is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Now, I always like to bring biblical teaching, because I know that if you're, maybe it's like, I never, that's kind of like a little bit, are you one of those Shabba Dabba Doo who stole my Honda kind of Christians, you know? Okay, no, we are a biblical church, speaking in tongues. I want to read you this verse, just jot it down, 1 Corinthians 14:39. 1 Corinthians, you need to memorize this if you're a spirit-filled believer. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says this, it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, it says, be eager to prophesy. Then let's all read this last sentence together, 1, 2, and 3. And do not forbid what? So the Bible says don't forbid it. So if you ever go to a church, say you shouldn't do that, say the Bible says you shouldn't stop me from speaking in tongues. That this is something I'm supposed to pray. Now, of course, it has to be done in order, right? You're not going to stand up and take the mic and then yell in tongues. No, it's a prayer language. So that we're a biblical church. What type of church are we? So this last week, we had hundreds of people baptized in the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues and praying. You ought to clap right there. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. There's a church that is still believing in the power of the Holy Spirit. So they're speaking. That's what happened. Now, let's go back to Mark 16:14. So there's two. Watch this third thing here. The third thing the Bible says that's going to happen, Mark 16:17. Go back there for me, team. It says they will speak with new tongues. Go to verse 18. Then it says, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. Now, this is what's called a metaphor. Say it with me, metaphor. So a metaphor, it's an example. So, for example, if I say I'm pulling his leg, am I really pulling his leg? No, it means I'm just kidding. That's a metaphor. Does that make sense? Like, oh, I'm just pulling your leg. That means I'm just joking. When the Bible, this is a metaphor. Like, the Bible uses certain things that is a metaphor to be an example. Like, for example, you'll read in the Bible that says that if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Okay, if a church ever says we're going to have a hand-cutting ceremony, don't go. Be like, bro, that was a metaphor, bro, okay? Like, it was speaking about, like, if there's something in your life that caused you to sin, cut that thing off, that relationship off, cut it off. Does that make sense? Oh, okay. So it's a metaphor. This, we're not going to hand out poison and drink it, okay? Don't do it, okay? This is a metaphor saying that you will have poison thrown at you. In other words, persecution. Because persecution always comes when you start operating, casting out devils, healing the sick, signs, wonders, and miracles. And I'm telling you, it came right away for our church. People are already saying, oh, that's that weird, that Freedom House, they're a weird church. No, we're not a weird church. We're a wired to God church. Come on, somebody, right? That. Oh, man, you know, they did it to Jesus. When Jesus cast out devils, they called Jesus a devil. They're like, you're Beelzebub. And he's like, come on, devils don't cast out devils. A kingdom divided cannot stand. And so people will persecute, and they'll say, oh, that's kind of like, you know, it's kind of a little too spiritual over there. Kind of, you know, no. It's persecution. They'll hate on it. Why? Because do you think the devil wants you to cast out devils? Are you tracking what I'm saying, right? People say, oh, man, you know, no, it's Jesus. So the persecution is going to come. Now, here's a little quick note for everybody that wants to be used by God. God can only use you to the level of persecution you can handle. That's as high. Because the moment you say, I can't handle it, you begin to shrink back. Because there'll always be people drinking that haterade. You know, they get some hateritis. Come on now, that's right. They try to hate on it. It's okay. I don't have to be everybody's favorite. Don't worry. The Bible says this, that when you're, it says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for my name's sake. When people persecute you, they're just blessing you. So keep on hating on me. You're just blessing me, blessing me, blessing me. God's going to bless me when I'm persecuted for his name's sake. Amen. So anyway, people can say what they want. Don't matter. We're called to be who God has called us to be. So pray for us, okay? Pray for us. Then the last part, he says, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Then it says this, verse 18, go back to verse 18. It says, I apologize, my name is Herman. It says, then they will lay hands on the sick, and what's going to happen to the sick? They shall what? Recover. And that's what we saw, healings, miracles, signs, and wonders. And so it's biblical that what? You'll cast out devils. That what? You'll speak in new tongues. That what? You will be persecuted and what? And that the sick will recover. And that's what we're seeing, church. The church in 4D, four dimensions. That the Bible is coming real. And so when someone says something like, hey, you heard what's happening at Freedom House, man? Kind of like, what's going on over there? I want you to say, what's going on over there? The Bible's coming to life over there. I'll tell you what's going on over there. That stuff you read in the Bible, it's actually happening in the church, and things are moving. Devils are being set free. Strongholds got to be gone. The sick are being healed. The Holy Spirit is manifesting. That's what I want. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, okay? Pray for me, all right? Pray for our church, because we're in a season of walking on water, of God doing some greater things. And I'm just going to be real. It would be much easier to play safe. So pray for me. Trust me. It'd be much easier for me just to pray. I'm sorry, to preach. Here are 2 points. How to be blessed. Have a good day. But when we start going after, like, setting people free, devils and demons, and baptism of the Holy Spirit, and praying for the sick, pray for me, okay? Pray for our church. If you're visiting today, I pray you find a home church. But if you call Freedom House your home church, pray for us, because God is releasing a greater dimension. And there's attacks that come. And so make sure that as believers, we don't ever get to a safety where we're like, oh, there goes Pastor. He's going to start praying for the sick. That one Sunday I bring a visitor, I invited my friend, and now he's going to start doing all this. They're going to think we're that weird church, you know? You know what I mean? Here he goes. Oh, man, the one Sunday, you know? You know, there's that lady rolling her eyes back. You know? And what can happen to us is we start wanting safe church. But here's what God showed me. If that was your daughter, you'd want me to pray for the sick. Here you go. Here's what God showed me. If that was your mom, you'd want a pastor to pray for healing over her cancer. If that was your son who was battling demons, you'd say, Pastor, please teach us how to cast out devils. If that was your cousin, if that was your brother, you'd say, Pastor, please pray for miracles and that devils. If that was your life, you would be crying, saying, I hope there's a church that would bring the power of God. And I'm telling you, that is this church. God has called us to bring the spirit of God's freedom, God's healing, God's power for a generation. And God is saying, I'm letting you have a former Walmart to be the house of God. Why? Because revival will come in this land. Somebody give God a praise. Give him a 5-second praise. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Shout hallelujah. Yes, Lord. And I realize that it's easy to get that way when that's not your daughter. But if it's your daughter, you say, Pastor, please, I don't know what to do. Doctors can't do it. She's losing her mind. And it comes with the fight. Trust me. These last couple weeks, man, I've been fighting. This last week, y'all remember, like, my physical body got attacked. And on Sunday night, we had a revival service. Couldn't sleep all night, because here's a little principle for those who desire to be used by God. When God moves, your physical body is like exhausted, but your spirit is like wired and you can't sleep because you're like, your body's like, go to bed. Your spirit's like, I'm too wired, man. I'm like, go to bed, you know. All night I couldn't sleep on Sunday. Woke up, not getting much sleep. My daughter, that Monday, she graduated from kindergarten, which is kind of funny. She's like, I graduated, Dad. I was like, girl, you got a long way to go, girl. But anyway, congratulations. So there, and she gets ready. Family goes to daughter's kindergarten graduation. And, you know, she graduates, or promotion, or whatever you want to call it. And then we went to Polly's Pies, because my favorite pie is Banbury. She likes banana pie, and had a little piece of pie, you know, for her graduation. And, you know, just Mondays is my day off, because Sunday I'm working. I'm here to serve you. And so Monday's my day where I just take a day of refresh everything. And so I didn't get a lot of sleep. Daughter's graduation, and so we have a piece of pie. We come home after graduation. It's pulling up to the house. Just see water coming out of my garage. I go, well, that's not good. Go into my house, and it's literally raining in my house because some pipes broke, and water's just all over the hallway, the kitchen, the living room, bedrooms. Just, my whole garage is raining. My son David, he went and he put on his rain boots. He's like, Dad, I'm here to help. I'm like, that's a smart kid right there. I said, you're going somewhere, kid. You don't have to get ready if you stay ready. So he's ready. I just sit there, it's pouring on me, and I'm just laughing. I'm like, devil, you're a liar, man. I'm like, yeah. By coincidence, we have a blowout revival service, and now my whole house, total loss, total flood. They're on the repair, all the drywall, all the floor. It's just, and I'm just laughing. I'm going, you're lying, devil. It's great. It's awesome. I'm like, praise God, revival, huh? Revival, praise the Lord. I'm tired. I need to sleep. And all I could do is I took it the devil was mocking us, because I'm like, we're praying for the year of revival rain, and it's like raining in my house, you know? And I just laugh, and I'm like, okay, devil, you're going to have to pay 7 times over for this. You're going to have to pay 7 times because the thief is a liar. This is a good place to say, make sure you pay your homeowner's insurance, by the way, okay? Pay it, because you don't need it till you need it, you know what I'm saying? And get a good one, too. Don't get cheap, because stuff can happen, right? And so, we've got insurance, okay? Thank you for your prayers. But we're working with all, it's just, but I go, I know what's going on here. We're not the people that are unaware. So pray for us, okay? Pray for this church. Don't be quick to judge. Be quick to say, Holy Spirit, move. And for some of you, this is what you've been waiting for. You've been saying, Lord, I want to see a fresh move of your spirit. But we're going to see the kingdom of God be established. Come on. For the glory. I said, for the glory. For the glory of God. But God is lifting faith. And this morning I want to talk. It's going to turn into a 2-week series, just so you know, okay? So you're like, how are you going to finish this outline? I'm probably not. Oh, next week. Oh, no, next week's Father's Day. Don't miss Father's Day. Where's all the dads at? Come on, next Sunday. Come on, dads. That's right. Clap for the dads. We're going to honor the dads. And let me tell you why Father's Day should be one of the most full service. Ask me why. Because we get to come be with our Heavenly Father. So we're going to come on Father's Day. We're going to worship the Father. It's going to be powerful. But next Sunday, so I'll try to weave it into next Sunday. I have a message for the dads. But I'm going to have to turn this into 2 weeks. So just tell your neighbor, I'm a season ticket holder. Say, I'm a season ticket holder. Say, these are the best seats of the house. Come on now. Just don't try to sell them on StubHub, all right? Okay. And so I'm going to talk today, because notice the Bible said, for those who believe. God does this not for a show, but to lift our belief in him, our faith in him, that we would know, God, you're real, that you are more powerful than anything else. So I'm going to spend the next couple weeks talking about how to defeat doubt and how to build your faith, because God wants to move powerfully. And so I want you to grab your Bibles now. Now we're going to stand and read the scripture. I'm going to jump into today's teaching. And how many excited for God to move right now? Come on. How many excited? So stand to your feet. Let's read this teaching here, these verses that will serve us today. And we're going to talk next couple weeks about defeating doubt and leaving a legacy of faith, a legacy and how it's going to take faith, amen, to overcome these things. And we're going to read here Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16. We're going to read through verse 20. We're about to read, I'll give you the context, is Jesus has resurrected from the grave, and now Jesus is revealing himself to the disciples. And so after Jesus rose from the grave, Jesus could have went straight to heaven. But instead, he didn't just go straight to heaven. He spent 40 days revealing himself to the disciples to answer any doubts they might have had. For those that love understanding and context, Jesus appeared to the disciples 13 times after he resurrected. How many times? So 13 times he appeared to them to answer any doubts they had. And what we're about to read is when he appeared, and this is where the Great Commission is, Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. The Bible says, then the 11 disciples, there were 11 because Judas had taken his own life, 11 disciples went to Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Who told them to go to that mountain? Jesus, right? Verse 17, when they saw him, meaning Jesus, they worshiped him. Now stop right there. I want you to notice, here's a great scripture to prove the deity of Christ, that Jesus is God, because they worshiped him and Jesus didn't stop them from worshiping him. Okay, only God should be worshiped. So the fact that Jesus accepted the worship is proof that Jesus is God. Because there'll be some that'll say Jesus was just a good man. No, he's God in the flesh. He accepted their worship, okay? So they worshiped him. Now watch what it says here. But some what? Have you ever worshiped and had some doubts? Come on, somebody. They were literally worshiping, but they had some doubts. They were like, I'm gonna see a victory. Am I gonna see a victory? I hope I see a victory. He is the way maker, miracle worker. I think he's a miracle worker. I hope he's a miracle worker. You think he's a miracle worker? Come on, somebody. They were worshiping, but still had some doubts. Come on, somebody. Don't you love how the Bible's real? I mean, these guys are seeing Jesus right in front of them, resurrected. They're like, I still am a little confused here. Because that stuff, that could happen. We could be, God, I see you doing all this, but is this really you? I want to teach about overcoming these doubts. Because I want you to watch the corresponding scripture. Then Jesus is going to say to these worshipers with some questions. Watch what he's going to say to them in verse 17. Verse 18. When Jesus came to them and he said, so they're worshiping with some doubts. Who knows what they're singing, but they have doubts. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now watch verse 19. He's going to tell them the Great Commission in the context of having some doubts but still worshiping. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus gives the Great Commission to worshipers that have some questions. Sounds like God could use a church like ours to do something great. I want to talk to you today. It's going to be 2 weeks, okay? So I'm giving you half the haircut today. Don't miss the second half of the haircut. Maybe next Sunday or the following Sunday. We'll see how. It's Father's Day, you know? But let's pray. I want to talk to you about defeating doubt. Father, we thank you this morning because your word is true. And we've come today to not hear the word of man, but to hear the word of God. God, let us receive the teaching of your word to build up our faith and minimize our doubts, that we would know that, God, you are still working in today's generation, that, God, you have not left us nor forsaken us, but, God, you want to reveal yourself to us. And, God, I pray that if there be any in the room that still have some doubts about you, answer those doubts, Lord, and let us draw us closer to you, Father. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Come on, give God one more clap. You may be seated. And just tell your neighbors, say, we're going to be built up in faith. Amen. Built up in faith. Thank you, brother. I want to talk about this because the reality is that all of us in this room, we will battle at times doubt. And I'll start with the question, okay? Because we're in a season as a church where God is raising the belief in him so that we could know he's working. But here's the question. Don't answer it, but here's the question I want you to think about. Can faith and doubt occupy the same space? Can faith and doubt occupy the same space? And I want to answer that. The answer to that is yes. Yes, they can. Because doubt, if you're taking notes, you can write it like this. Doubt simply means having questions, having some questions. That's what it simply means. I got some questions. Like, I'm not saying I don't believe. I just got some questions, Lord. I got some questions. And doubt, this questions, requires us to have faith. Because you don't need faith when you don't have questions. For example, when you sat on your chair and I said, you may be seated, now you're like, I wonder if this will hold me up. I have questions. I don't know. Oh, hallelujah, held me up, okay? No, you just sat down. Did you need faith to sit down? No, right? I'll tell you what you need faith for. You need faith when you're like, God, is this really you? I got some questions. That's when our faith gets activated. Because faith is for us, the Bible says you walk by faith and not by sight. But what doubt does is doubt tries to keep you to stand, to stop your walk with God. Faith is something that God develops in our lives. And so you got to know this, that just because you have questions or doubts doesn't mean you don't believe in God. The question is, are you going to continue walking by faith? That's the determining factor if you still trust God, if you still have that faith in God. It's will you walk? Which one will you obey? Will you stop or will you continue to walk? It's like when Peter was in the boat and Jesus was walking on water and Peter says, if it is you, tell me to come. What does that mean? He's like, I mean, I got some questions here. Is it really you? And Jesus says, come. And so he steps out of the boat and he starts walking on water, right? He's doing the impossible because he had some questions, but he started following God even in the midst of those questions. He activated his faith. Of course, he ends up, you know, sinking. Jesus tells him, you have little faith, puts him back on the boat. And you can hear the disciples like, he fell. But I always say this, I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat talker. Come on, talk to me, somebody, right? I'd rather believe God and step out than always try to play it safe in the boat. And it really is a picture of two Christian experiences. You can play it safe in the boat, or you can say, I'm going to trust God and step out in faith. And what we're doing is we're in a season of stepping out in faith, of saying, God, let's step out into the impossible. Let's believe you, Lord, for what you want to do. Because the generation that we're living in, playing it safe isn't going to change the world. Because I'll tell you right now, the devil ain't playing it safe. The enemy's not playing it safe. They're coming on. The enemy's full send. He's full attack. Well, guess what? It's time for the church to be full send. Come on, full attack. The kingdom of God suffer the violent, but the violent take it by force. In other words, we're not going to be shy. But if they're going to be loud about their devil, we're going to be loud about our Jesus. Somebody shout amen. So we're going to do what God called us to do. And we're not going to be obnoxious about it, but we're sure not going to be silent about it. The Bible says, let your light shine for all to see. The Bible says, you're a city on a hill. What do you say? He says, you are the light of the world. Don't cover up your light. Let your light shine bright for the glory of God. Say amen. And so our faith should be on display. And so we got to understand that this is something that tries to come against our lives, but we need to not bow to those doubts, but we need to overcome what God is calling us to do. And so I want you to write this down. Here's your first point. Write this down. Is don't allow your doubts to defeat you. So the key of walking in faith isn't that you won't have doubt. The key to walking in faith is don't allow your doubts to defeat you, to stop you. Is you're going to have these questions. We have them all the time. I had them in my life. When we began Freedom House, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'm like, Lord, is this going to work? I don't know. Am I going to ruin my life? Okay. Some of you, you know, is this going to be crazy? I don't know. But God, I'm going to walk in faith. I'm not going to let doubt defeat me. Never forget when I began my first business way before I ever started Freedom House, and I had a, you know, career job, and I worked in an investment world, and I felt a call. I felt just an entrepreneurship in me to start my own real estate company, investment company, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to do this, and I began my first company, and I stepped down. I was like, I don't know, and I remember having a lunch with my father-in-law, and I'm like, yeah, I feel this, pray for me, I'm going to do this, and then I tried to pay for his lunch. He's like, no, don't pay for my lunch. You're married to my daughter. You need your money. Come on, so you're going to be an entrepreneur, you know. And so I said, all right, cool. So he paid for it. I took it, the blessing. And so, and I started my business, of course, I wanted to own a Christian business. I wanted to bless the kingdom. I wanted to fund the kingdom. I wanted to give Christian jobs, help people break poverty and succeed both spiritually and successfully. And so when I started, and now God blessed that business and it's still feeding my family to this day. You can clap right there. That's fine. To God be the glory. But I didn't know if it would succeed. I had some safety, had some questions. I go, God, I know you can. But God honored my faith. Why? God honors faith because faith honors God. Okay? And so how do you know if doubt wins? It doesn't mean because you have it. It's will you let it stop you? That's how you know if doubt wins. Are you letting it stop you? Or are you just going with it and saying, I'm still going to believe you, God, because you spoke to my heart of something you're asking me to do. And we're in a season as a church of operating in faith where we don't know. You know, we're about to step into, you know, turning a former Walmart into the house of God. I mean, there's some questions. Lord, this is a big project. I mean, we're talking like, is this going to work? I hope so. Come on, somebody, amen. Right? But no, guess what I say? God, I know that if I trust you, that you shall provide, that you will bring revival, and you'll confirm it with signs, wonders, and miracles, that it is your hand, God. And if you did it in the past, God, I can know you'll do it again. Clap, because we know God's bringing revival. Come on, we got to put an amen on that. No doubt, no doubt, no doubt. But some people would say, well, Pastor, how do you know? Are you sure? Can you put a guarantee on it? And some people can only move with guarantees. I move with God. Oh, somebody. God, I know you said in your word you'll do this. Now, of course, we're not being foolish, okay? There's a process to it, and we're following those processes. But nonetheless, we're going to walk by faith and not let doubt stop us. How many things will you not accomplish because you let doubt stop you? And nothing wrong with having questions. It's just, will you let those questions draw you closer to God, or will you let it stop your walk with God? So he had these questions, these doubts. And there are different types of doubt, just so you know, that try to defeat you. Because sometimes we try to put doubt in one bucket, like, is God real or not? But it actually goes beyond that. There are doubts that you'll have about your future. That's called worry. Worry is a form of doubt. Where you're like, I don't know, is my future secure? Is God going to have this put together? If I honor him, am I going to give up my dreams? If I honor him, am I going to miss the real guy I'm supposed to marry for the ladies? Am I going to miss the girl? If I honor God, am I going to miss out on this opportunity? And we worry that we don't think God can come through, and therefore doubt fuels you from honoring God. That's worry, right? But Bible says that God will turn all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We're not going to worry about tomorrow. You can even have doubt shows up in the form of suspicion, where you go to a church or you have suspicion of pastors or church, and you go, I don't know about this church. I don't know about that pastor. I don't know about all this Holy Spirit. I don't know yet. And you think, it's because you know what? It's because I know. I got a gift. And here are people are still 15 years later saying, I don't know about that Josiah guy. I don't know. I don't know yet. 15 years later, 20 years later, I don't know about that Freedom House. I don't know about that Joe. 25 years later. And you let suspicion, doubt stop you from being a part of a move of God. And it passes your life right by. See, it shows up in suspicion. You don't trust leadership, or you don't trust, or you're suspicious of all that. Also, you can have doubt that shows up as insecurity about yourself. You doubt yourself. You doubt the gifts God gave you. So you're walking in insecurity. I don't know who me. I don't know if I can do it. And I don't know if God put that in me. I don't know. And we think it's humbleness, but it's not humbleness. It's rooted in doubt, and it's formulated in insecurity. And you're not letting God use the gift that he put inside of you. And so then you're playing small, and you have the mentality of the 10 spies who went to, and God showed them the promised land. They said, we're like grasshoppers in the sight of those giants. And you have a grasshopper mentality of serving God. When God's like, no, I made you a giant killer. I put things inside of you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God is for me, who can be against me? Come on, clap, because you know what God put inside of you. Insecurity. So you walk insecure. Oh, kicking the can. Not me. You know? That's doubt. You doubt what God put in you. Insecurity. What's another form of doubt? Cynicism. So you become cynical. And you're very cynical towards church, and it shows up stuff like about God's kingdom, where you're like, I don't believe in organized religion. I don't believe in organized religion and that organized religion. And it makes no sense. Imagine you going to work saying, I don't believe in organized companies. Like, what are you talking about? I don't believe in organized companies. It's too organized around here. I don't believe in organized religion. It's too organized around here. It's like, that makes no sense. Imagine you going to the NFL game. I don't believe in organized sports. No organized. It's too organized here. It's too organized. Like, what are we talking about? So we come to church. I don't believe in organized religion. It's too organized. It's like, what are you talking about? God is a God of order. And you can become so cynical that you always have this cynicism. That you're always poking holes. You're finding for what's wrong when there ain't nothing perfect. Only thing perfect is God. Come on, shout amen. See, these are all forms of doubts that try to stop our faith in following him. But God, watch this now, is not afraid of your doubts. Here's the good news, okay? I'll give you 1 point. I owe 2 points in the weeks to come, okay? But here's the good news. God is not afraid of your doubts because God is okay with your questions. It's just don't let your questions stop you from coming to God. It's all right to say, God, I want to learn more about what you're doing in this earth right now. God, I want, because one of the 12 disciples was known as a doubter. His name was Thomas, also known as Didymus. Y'all know P. Diddy? This was T. Diddy. Come on, somebody, okay? Didymus. It's from the Bible. Sorry, pastor's got jokes. Right? This is Didymus. And so Thomas was one of the disciples. He was a doubter. He was known as, but I got respect for Thomas. Because go with me to John 20:27. I'm wrapping up here. The Bible says, then he being Jesus said to Thomas. So who was he talking to? Thomas. He was known as a doubter because he had questions. It's like, yo, hold up. Lord, I want to know if you're real. He says, put your finger here. That was his side because he appeared after the resurrection. See my hands. Reach out and put it in my side. And let's all read this last sentence together. 1, 2, and 3. Stop doubting and what? And believe. He says, Thomas, stop doubting. It's time to believe now. But I got respect for Thomas because you see, Thomas, even though he had doubts, he didn't let his doubts stop him from following Jesus. And I got respect for everybody in this room today that maybe has some doubts about God. But here's the good news. You didn't let it stop you from coming today. That you said, I'm going to come to God for him to answer my doubts. And God is not afraid of his doubts. In fact, God wants to prove your doubts and show you that he's real. Here's a awesome, here's a prayer I want you to pray if you have any doubts about God, about what he's doing, okay? I double dog dare you to pray this prayer. Okay, here it comes. I dare you, double dog dare you to pray this prayer. Say, God, if you're real, show me. Some people don't want to pray that prayer. I ain't praying that prayer. Start saying that stuff, things start happening, you know what I mean? Things start happening at home. Go ahead, pray the prayer. I dare, a double dog dare you. Today, when you go home, say, God, if you're real, show me you're real. Go ahead. I see a lot of people get afraid of that. Because God is real. And he's confirming it in this house by his signs, wonders, and miracles. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And I say it with love, and I'm not saying bad things are going to happen. But watch. God's going to say, okay, I'll show you I'm real. And some of you in this house, God's been doing things in your life that you know, God, you're real. You shouldn't even be alive, but God, you're real. You should have perished, but you say, God, I know you're real. Because God is into making your doubts be faith. We're in a season of belief. God is raising the faith in this house. And I believe you're going to step into the greatest things God has for us. Why? Because we're not going to let our doubts defeat us. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living in Jesus' name. Why don't we stand to our feet? I'm going to finish this teaching later, weeks to come, maybe next Sunday. But I had a whole message I want to talk to the dads about. But just come to church. Tell your neighbor, just come to church. Just bow your head all across this room. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this moment. You're doing something in our church, God. You're showing us signs, wonders, and miracles. And then you're building our faith to have the knowledge of the word. And I want to say this in this room. If you have any doubts, bring them to God. Bring them to God. Bring those doubts to God. Because remember what I told you, doubts are simply questions, and God is not offended by your questions. Even if you have the question if God's real, go ahead. That's okay. I don't want you to let that stop you from coming to church or even reading your Bible. It's okay to have those questions. But be like Thomas. I'm going to keep being in the room. I'm going to keep following to answer these questions. There have been so many people that have tried to prove God wrong that only end up believing in God because God is real. In fact, I always say this. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in God. Simple. It's very simple. Father, we thank you, Lord, because we know that you are the one true God. There is so much happening in our world that, Father, we need you in our lives. The simple truth of light and darkness, that the Bible says that light overcomes darkness. And every time there's a room that is dark, we simply turn the light on and darkness has to flee. There's your theological statement right there. God is light, and his light will push out all doubt and all darkness. You just have to seek God to turn on that light. And if you're in this room and you have any questions about God and God is lifting you, there's the reason why God's letting you be a part of Freedom House Church, to see these signs, wonders, and miracles, because this stuff is real, y'all. And I believe God's not shown it to us simply for entertainment. He's allowing these things to happen so that our faith can be lifted, and then we can walk in it for our families, our future, our kids, and the things that this generation needs in the name of Jesus. In fact, with your eyes closed, your head bowed, just pray this prayer. Pray this prayer. Say, God, show me you're real. Reveal to me you're real. Say, I want to believe in you, that you're moving and you're healing and you're empowering our lives for your glory. Say this, answer my doubts so that I can walk in greater faith. I'm not going to stop following you. I'm not going to stop walking in you. I'm not going to stop coming closer to you, because God, you're real and you're moving in my life. Say this, I'm going to worship even when I have questions. I'm going to obey your word even when I have questions, because your word is truth and you'll reveal to me as I walk with you in Jesus' name. Say this, though I may walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will not stop, Lord. The valley of doubt, the valley of death, the valley of confusion, of suspicion, of all those things that I name, say, God, I'm going to follow after you, because you're lifting my faith to see the signs, wonders, and miracles. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hey, thanks so much for watching our service at Freedom House OC. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's always my honor, my wife's honor, to bring you God's word. And I know that God's best is in your future. Make sure to share, click the bell icon so you're always up to date when new content comes out, because we want to be a blessing to your life. We want this channel to be a channel that feeds your future and leads you closer to God. Hey, we love you. God bless.